It's over 10 years since the law banning smoking in pubs across the UK was passed. 10 years. Can you believe it? A decade on, it looks like swearing could be given its ticket too. It's been reported that the Samuel Smith's pub chain is calling time on foul language in its 300 establishments around GB. But how realistic is a ban on the use of foul language in a place where alcohol is sold? And would you welcome it, or do you think is it just nonsense? I've been speaking to commentator Martin Daubney and journalist Lynette Burrows, who I began by asking if she thought that this was something that should be encouraged.
Oh, yes, I do. I think any steps taken in pursuit of a more civilised way of dealing with one another is a jolly good thing. I mean, we are going rather fast downhill in that respect. And the trouble is that bad language raises the temperature, doesn't it? And causes fights and things when somebody tells you to F off rather than do you mind pushing off. It just makes you that much angrier. And so anything that encourages people to control what they say, or at least the mode in which they say it, I think it's a jolly good thing.
How bad, really, to be honest, Lynette, is swearing? Is it really that big a deal?
Oh, I think it is, because old language carries emotion, doesn't it? That's what it's about. And if you're swearing at somebody, it's like slapping them about the face.
Yeah, but you could be much more offensive through other choice language than actually swearing at someone.
Well, I mean, you call your fat-faced baboon rather than telling you to F off or something like that?
Well, I guess you could say that, or just through your argument or what you're actually saying about someone.
Well,
but my question is, does the actual language, that the offensive or perceived offensive language, does it make that much of a difference?
I think it does. I mean, there'd be nothing to stop you disagreeing and calling somebody a fat-faced baboon in an argument in a pub, and that wouldn't transgress their swearing policy. And actually, you can't really say that in any really offensive way without sounding childish. So, I mean, you know, swearing is very low-level abuse, and it's offensive because it's abusive.
Martin Daubney, do you swear?
I swear like a trooper, yeah, and maybe that's my bad upbringing. I certainly do in pubs. I think there's a big difference here. We need to make a distinction between, you know, abusive swearing that's threatened, you know, towards people in an abusive manner, and then I think the more colloquial and colourful and everyday and actually quite therapeutic swearing that millions of drinkers do every day.
Therapeutic? Therapeutic to use foul language?
I think it's therapeutic because, you know, at the end of a hard day's work, you know, the pubs in question, you know, they tend to be sort of frequented by kind of labourers. You know, they are famed as a low-priced pub. And you go there to unwind, and so long as you are kind of doing your swearing in a controlled group, I really don't see the issue. And this feeling that, you know, we must control what we say, the state must control what we say, it's very Orwellian, and I think it's just... It's just looking down the wrong end of the telescope, and also for Lynette to equate swearing to actually slapping people around the face is absurd. Words, you know, are not physical assault.
I really do agree with you. This is not the business of the state. This is a cultural matter, which always comes down to what people do. And I think the kind of swearing that you're talking about, which, you know, just relieving feelings and not really directed at anybody, is very inoffensive and is, you know, part of... But it's lazy speech. And if the man in the pub... I mean, I believe in private enterprise. I think he should be able to do what he likes to do with his pub. And if a man wants to take his wife in a pub, he might choose to go to one where they won't be swearing. And, you know, things will separate like that.
Well, how would you enforce something like this? Let's say, for example, in this man's chain of pubs, how would you stop people from doing it, Lynette?
Well, one of my brothers had a jazz club in London, which was very popular and very good, and Time Out said it was the second best one in London. And he had a sign on the door, he's a bit eccentric, and it said, "No drugs, no swearing, no Benetton clothes." And, of course, it caused an enormous amount of comment and hilarity. It just drew people's attention to something. I don't know what the Benetton clothes was about, except that he didn't like their advertisements. But it just sort of made people think about things, and it was entirely harmless, and I think it was probably added to the allure of the place. I don't think it's a terribly...
But you have to admit, Lynette, it would be very difficult to try and enforce that. Putting a sign up doesn't necessarily stop people from doing things.
Doesn't.
Are you going to chuck people out if they swear?
If they're swearing loudly and offensively, yes, you'll tell them either to shut up or get out. Yes, why not?
There can be, Martin, when we talk about pubs, people, I think maybe years ago, had a certain opinion of them. Now they can be family places. They can quite often be somewhere where you'll go to eat and maybe drink with your family, say, for example, your Sunday roast. So when you bring kids and, or younger people or maybe people that aren't quite used to that kind of behaviour into that kind of environment, it can be quite... I don't want to use the word threatening, but what it comes in, it does come into my head when that's happening around you.
Yeah, I think it's entirely reasonable to expect people not to swear around children. And by the way, that is very kind of self-moderating in the vast, you know, number of circumstances. You know, people do look after that. And that's because, you know, quite often this is daytime or early evening where people perhaps aren't quite so refreshed. And they become a bit kind of faster and looser with their tongues. And I think around women too, maybe old-fashioned these days to say it's chivalrous to not swear like a trooper around women, but I also believe that's true. Mm. I think the overriding majority of male drinkers and female drinkers, not just men who swear, you know, are very able to self-moderate, and there's no problem. How we enforce this is insane. I mean, at a time where we have a record number of pubs closing, why do we want to do anything to drive customers away? It seems to me it's entirely wrong-headed, and I think the customer is king. And why can't we just swear in a way that we find amusing and, you know, as a pressure release?
Do you really find it amusing sometimes, Martin?
Beg your pardon?
Do you really find swearing amusing sometimes?
Yeah, I do. I find it. I think swearing can be an art form when it's used.
Oh, come on!
An art form,
Martin Daubney. I wouldn't like to see the kind of galleries you go to.
Well, I mean, bear in mind, I was reared in coal miners' working men's welfare clubs, so you know, I've kind of grown up around this.
I think actually, talking like that, in my experience, working class people watch their language much more than middle class people do. I hate the superior way that the middle classes are. I'd live in Cambridge, and some of these frightfully well-spoken people have got appalling language, and it really irritates me.
You're quite well-spoken yourself, Lynette.
I am indeed.
Do you ever swear, Lynette?
I would never swear. I wouldn't presume that my audience liked it. If I was with people, you know, my family and things like that.
Or Martin Daubney.
I don't. Oh, Martin. No, I would never swear at him. He's obviously a gentleman. But I do remember a workman coming round to mend some pipes of mine, and he wanted to tell me how hard the soil was. And he said, the soil round here is as hard as her. And he was obviously going to say hell, bless his heart. And he stopped himself and said, hard as heck. Now, I appreciated that. I think I like people that note the differences between men and women.
But it's interesting that you mentioned that, Lynette. And we've touched on it already in this discussion, and that is the suggestion that men, when it comes to bad language, are worse than women. And in my experience, that is not the case. Maybe it's a new thing. It's something that's come around in the last 10 years or so. But my female friends probably swear more than the men.
Awful, isn't it? Yes, I quite agree. But
is it different, though, if women swear?
I think it is. Well, I think,
Lynette.
No, hang on. Let me say, I think, like in many things, women are brandishing a weapon they can never use. It's just imitative behaviour. They swear because men swear.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm serious. But
Martin Daubney?
Men swear, it means...
No.
You're swearing, Martin Daubney. According to Lynette Burrows, you're making other women copy you and swear as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which of course, implies that women have no agency over their behaviour and men are forcing them to do bad things. That's nonsense. It flies let me finish.
Sorry.
There is also strong evidence, and I think healthy evidence, to show that, you know, pejorative terms, you know, that have been used by men for generations and now being appropriated by women as a form of kind of empowerment, if you like. Why can't we use these words? Why are they off limits to us? And there's
the
quality there of swearing, which, you know, some people might celebrate as a great thing. But
no,
this idea
that
we can police speech is absurd. Come on, we've got bigger battles to fight.
I think it's just imitative behaviour that they think puts them... I don't know what. Stupid age.
But do women not have, as Martin has suggested, the brains to decide themselves not to do something imitative? You make it sound like they're animals.
No, it doesn't. You never saw an animal that swore.
No, but imitating other people's behaviour. Women are as intelligent...
Yes, women are very, very biddable. That's why all the hoardings and everything else are covered with women looking extremely stupid in a way that men would never allow themselves to be portrayed. They are, in fact, very biddable. Not all of them, of course.
What do you mean by that?
Biddable?
Yes.
That they will do what somebody asks them to do and says, you know, you're really pretty, so, you know, take your top off.
Are you serious, Lynette?
No, of course I do. This is how... I mean, talk to any women that have been in show business and that they'll know that, you know, that's exactly that. Asked to take their clothes off at the drop of a hat. Men aren't asked.
And they didn't do it because it was their own decision and they wanted to make some money.
Oh,
it was a career
no,
they had chosen.
Not. They go along with what they're asked to do. I mean, if men go along to an audition... And another chap asked him to take his trousers off, you know, he'd get a very dusty answer. But, you know, a lot of women expect that and do that. I mean, you're arguing from a sort of ideal position which doesn't reflect the real world. Or women do very often what they're asked to do. They're paid, yes. But that's about all.
I find myself in the bizarre position of kind of being the defender of womankind here.
Yes, well, that's all right. You can't attack them. I can, because I am one.
No, what I'm saying is that this idea that women are kind of passive, you know, mindless echo chambers who merely reflect bad behaviour that's going on around them with no agency over their control, it strikes me as an incredible thing to say.
Yeah, well,
you're saying that.
Yeah, well, you know. It possibly is incredible.
Okay, well, Lynette,
I think it's very true in lots of cases.
I want to ask you a question, and I am not trying to be offensive.
No.
I genuinely am not. But you mentioned, for example, women that take their clothes off for money, right?
Yes.
Whether it be modelling or whatever.
Mm.
Have you ever done that yourself?
No, I've modelled, but I've never taken my clothes off.
But why not?
Oh, because I have too much sense of my own.
Exactly, and you're a woman. You've just said it yourself. You're a woman. You made the decision
not
to do that.
I'm not all women, for goodness sake.
Oh, so you're the exception.
Nobody would say that all women are like that. I'm saying that there's enough women to have a whole industry based upon it. Asking women to do more and more outrageous things, which they will go along with. And all you have to do is pay them. And in the same way, you wouldn't get as many men to do that because they have more... pride.
I don't know. Every time I look at David Beckham, he's in a pair of boxers. Lynette Burrows, thank you very much. And Martin Daubney, thank you very much as well. We'll see what you think at home this morning about this. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Norman and Bangor, what do you reckon? Would you a ban on swearing?
Yes, I don't see any reason why people have to swear. I walked past a shop the other day, three young girls in school uniform, wouldn't be any more than 13, and every other word was the F word. So why do people need to swear? If the kids hear it in the home or they hear it in the shopping centre when the mother's pushing them in the pram, they pick it up and then they pass it on to others. I've heard children as young as 5 swearing. But here's a question.
Do you find it offensive, Norman?
I do find
why?
It offensive. Because I think it degrades people
but
they're just swearing.
They're just words, Norman. What about offends
they're
you?
They're not just words. It just shows how low they've stooped when they have to use words like that. There's nothing as bad as hearing a woman coming out with a filthy mouth full of F and B.
What makes the fact that it's a woman doing it any different than a man?
It does. You seem to have more respect for a woman, but when she comes out with a F and the B words, you say to yourself, she's a right dirty mouth on her. And that's what people think of people when they hear them swear. But here's a question, Vinny, do you swear?
Why do you ask me that?
I just asked you a question. Do you have to swear to express yourself?
I would probably end up swearing more when Mr. Nolan is around, if I'm totally honest.
Yes, and why do you have to swear?
Because he frustrates the life out of me.
Aye, but you can express yourself. You can say, don't be a silly fool. You don't need to use an F word or a B word or whatever. That's what I'm trying to point across to people.
Tell me this, Norman, have you missed him?
Huh?
Have you missed Mr. Nolan?
Yes, I've missed winding him up.
He's back. He's back tomorrow. In fact, he's on his way back from America right now, so he could be a couple of miles above your head, flying across. He's wearing a wee pair. He put a picture up on Facebook, a wee pair of shorts on the plane. He could be flying above your head right now.
Yes, and you were talking earlier on about mobile phones.
Yes.
Well, Stephen's addicted to the mobile phone.
He is. Do you know what he does do, Norman? He will sit when you're talking to him and he'll just totally blank you, turn away from you mid-conversation, get the phone out and start texting or looking at social media.
That's right. I sat down with a man the other day. He sat down beside me in a shopping centre. He was only sat down 30 seconds. He had his mobile phone out and his finger was going 90 miles
an hour.
Did
you know him?
No.
So what does it matter? He wasn't going to sit and have a conversation with you.
they couldn't have a con. You go into the doctors, they can't have a conversation with you. As soon as they sit down, they're able to move their phones.
Tell me this.
It's an addiction.
Tell me this, Norman, going back to the swearing. When you were younger, yes. Did you ever swear?
Yes, years ago when I was at school, you had to pick them words up. But as you get
older. There you go. Are you a bit of a hypocrite?
I was then, but as you get older, you get wiser and you say, why do I need to swear? You don't need to swear. I can express myself to people without swearing. I can come on this program and express myself without using any swear words. I've heard people coming on to this program and using swear words and having to be cut off.
Well, don't be doing that today. Norman, no. Thank you. Thank you very much. He'll be back tomorrow, and I am sure, I can guarantee you, Norman, that he has missed you. Bertie in Lisburn. Go ahead, Bertie.
Hello, Vinny.
Hello.
Hello. Well, talking about swearing, I think of start in two places. First, the youngsters out in the street, you can hear them from their noses, the F and the B word and all this.
Well, who's to blame for that, Bertie?
The television, sure, you put that TV on after 9 and 8, there's all types of language comes across. Well, I can't see it, but I'm sure there's women very skimpy clad too.
What's that got to do with swearing, Bertie?
Pardon?
What's that got to do with swearing?
Well, sometimes people just go on as they see women there, very skimpily dressed, and they just go ahead and they just maybe a couple of fellas tell this fella what he thinks of the body and that, and you know, and they describe the parts of her body,
right,
and all the rest.
Okay.
Of it. It's a norm of laying in the swearing.
Let's go on to let's stick to just the swearing for this time,
right,
on a Tuesday morning, Bertie, in case I get the sack. do you think, is it getting worse?
Well, anywhere you go, and as Norman said, there's girls, there's especially women.
But why are we isolating women? What does it matter who's doing the swearing?
Yeah,
if swearing is offensive, it shouldn't matter if it's a man or a woman.
But I'm saying the worst cases of it I've heard is women when they get a drop of alcohol in them or drugs. Oh, their mouth is terrible.
I don't know who you're hanging about with, Bertie. I think we need to ask a few questions. But anyway.
No, I don't think I don't drink or don't do that. Just but walk in the ordinary street if you're passing by public houses or sometimes you're passing out in the street, there's maybe a family feud on.
All right. We have to leave it there, Bertie.
There's in the street. I don't have to go to your own street to get it.
Bertie, thank you. We'll have to leave it there.